Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Matthew chapter 21. Before we read the scripture, I want to be very upfront with you this morning and let you know that there's something in this message and in scripture this morning for all of us, for me. Not just you, but for all of us in this place. Whether you're visiting today, I trust that God will speak to your heart and do something in your heart. But I want you to know that the message this morning, the context of this message, if you are visiting, like I said, there's something in it for you. But this message this morning is directed by God's Word, specifically to people who are in leadership in this church. It will be directed to all of us because we all have leadership in our own personal life. We make decisions every day that affect our life. There are some of you who you are parents, you're husband and wife, you're in a home, you have leadership within the home. And so in those contexts, it speaks to all of us. But then we will move to the leadership of this church. And leadership in this church is not by office only. I want you to hear this from the onset. It is not just by office only, whether you are a teacher or whether you are the pastor or whether you're on staff or whether you are a deacon or whether you are a deacon's wife or you're leading another ministry, a lay ministry, and you know, you're overseeing the seniors' luncheon and the ministry to the seniors, or you're doing something for a Bible study somewhere or a small group or a home study. It doesn't matter. Those are positions that have been given to you. You carry that responsibility the Lord's put in your heart. But that's not just that leadership only this morning of our personal life, our homes, and of the church in the context of office. But it's also, we have leadership among us who don't hold office. It's just in who they are, they have influence. Understand that. You don't have to be in office to have influence, do you? You don't have to hold a title. And so as we look through this morning, and I refer to leadership of the church, it's not just those who hold some type of assignment, responsibility, or office, but it is for anybody. If you seem like you are a person who, not in arrogance, but in humility, understand that God, you know, has you in a place of influence with people. Some of the people who have said some of the wisest things to me were not people who held offices or wore suits every day to work. So to be an influence, we don't have to hold office. We don't have to be in a governing position. Sometimes in just who we are and who the Lord has made us to be, we become a person of influence. And so I don't want you to right away think, well, this doesn't apply to me. I don't teach in the church. I don't have a title in the church. You're a person of influence. If you are on this worship team on any given Sunday, I want you to know that you're a person of influence because it's a very public ministry, and what you do has influence. Influence on the atmosphere of this place, the influence of the people you are leading and worshiping along with. And the realm of your influence goes beyond just this platform. Because when people see you off this platform, and what you say and what you do has influence. It's not just in the moment that we're doing our moment of influence. It goes beyond that realm. And I want us to look this morning at Matthew chapter 21. We'll start with verse 1. Today being Palm Sunday, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, And Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Just like we did this morning in this room. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he entered the city. He didn't climb over a wall. He went through a gate. The whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area. When he entered the temple area, he went through a gate. It doesn't say that here in the scripture. You just have to study a little bit and you find out that there are gates to the city and gates to the temple area. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves or robbers." I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the gatekeepers. Those are people, in our context, people who are leaders, people who are people of influence. Hear me, people of influence, not affluence. Influence. Sometimes they're the same. But I want you to know that there are gatekeepers spoken of throughout the Bible. I'm just going to tell you a few references. We're not going to go and read those passages. But I want you to know that there are gatekeepers to the gates of the city. There are gatekeepers to the temple, in the temple area. You can look in 2 Samuel chapter 18. You can look in 2 Kings 7. You can look in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. There are other places. I just mentioned a few of those to you. If you're taking notes, I'll say them again. 2 Samuel 18, 2 Kings 7, 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Jesus enters the city, and as I mentioned, he didn't climb over a wall. He went through the gate, and he came to the temple area, and he went through a gate. And at these gates, there are gatekeepers. And at the personal level, you know, Jesus wants to enter our lives, our hearts, every person in this place. Whether this is the first time you've ever been to church or the first time here, doesn't matter. Whether you come here all the time or you were born in the back pew at some church and have always attended, doesn't matter. Jesus wants to come into the heart and life of every person. The Bible in the New Testament says to us very clearly that we, our bodies, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there is a gatekeeper of this temple. Understand, God has given you and I a free will, and you choose what you let in. You choose who you let in. You choose. I choose who I let in. I am the gatekeeper. I have the authority to say no and to say yes. I have the keys to my heart. I have the authority. Unless I give those away to someone, which people do, we choose. It's in our families. Parents, we're gatekeepers. What do we allow in? What do we say no to? What do we welcome? Because let's face it, not every knock on the door of our life or our home is a solicitor from heaven. We're gatekeepers. Gatekeepers were people who watched over the entrance to the city, the entrance to the temple. They were, in one respect, they were soldiers. You'll find it in Nehemiah as they're rebuilding the wall and watching the gates and building up the breaches in the wall. You will find that gatekeepers, they were in Bible times, okay? They basically used men who were able and who were strong. Because it could also be a place of conflict. People who sat at the gates were elders of the city. Now, when it says elders, we confuse this sometime when, you know, we hear things like respect your elders. It means respect everybody who's old or older than you. And that there is a good policy and there is biblical instructions to, you know, how you treat those who are older and looked at as wiser. But understand, the elders of the city were not there just because they were old. Elders had to do with being, they held an office. You can look at it in the New Testament, and you can look at what Paul wrote Timothy, and you will see elders listed there. It doesn't just mean that they're old. It's one of the reasons Paul wrote Timothy and said, hey, don't let them look down on you because you're young, but be an example. Because Timothy was given a position among those in the church, an office, like the office of elder. Those at the gate were guardians. Those at the temple gates, they were from Levitical background and Levites, and they were given this task and this responsibility to open and close the gates of the temple area, watch over it, open it at certain times, close it up, what came in, what was allowed, all of those things. They were given keys to the gate, the city, the temple. And keys in Scripture, you know, they represent authority. That's what they are. You got the authority to open and close. Jesus says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Open and close. You know, we choose all the time. You know, the Holy Spirit in Scripture, Paul writes this, and he says, you know, the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Understand that a prophet can get a message from God and he can prophesy the message. Do you also know that he can get a message from the Lord by the Holy Spirit and choose not to give it? It's not like the Spirit takes hold of his mouth and forces him to say it. God gave us a will to choose. And the Spirit can move upon our life or give us a message or convict us of something and we can say no to it. We can reject it. We can shut it out. We can close up the gates. I love the song that we sing from time to time. Fling wide, you heavenly gates. Fling wide, you heavenly gates. You know, let the Lord of glory come in. Well, in our personal lives, we're gatekeepers. And what we allow in, what we allow to take hold of our heart or plant in our heart, in our families, we do the same thing. I'm not always there at the front door, and neither is my wife. And our children, they have their own room. Hallelujah. And I trust them, but periodically I walk through their room. Because even though I wasn't at the gate, I get to go in their room until they start paying the mortgage. Which, by the way, anytime you guys want to do that is fine with me. Gatekeepers, a responsibility. What we allow in. And you're looking not at a man who's pious or arrogant. I want you to know that. There's things and times in my life where I've let something in that didn't belong. And I had to answer for it. So I understand real life. I'm not standing up on this platform because I think I'm higher than you. I'm a real man in real life, just like you're a real person in real life. And I have the responsibility of being a gatekeeper of my personal life. I have the responsibility and privilege of being a gatekeeper of my family. I have the responsibility and the awesome task that is greater than what I can do in being a gatekeeper and a pastor of this church. But I'm not the only gatekeeper here. See, decisions are made by leaders throughout this church all the time. You have to understand, I don't know right now what is going on in Children's Church down the hallway because I'm not there. But I know the people who lead it, and we put them in place as trusted gatekeepers at what they allow to take place in that room. How they worship, how they teach, how they allow the children to still be children and have fun, and yet teach them scriptural things and teach them spiritual message based upon God's word. They're gatekeepers. If the Holy Spirit wants to do something in Children's Church this morning beyond what they have anticipated and they say no, I'm not there. Those gatekeepers can say no. Leaders, people of influence of this church, when the Holy Spirit gets close and Jesus wants to do something among us, say what you like. Try to brush off your office or your influence at that moment. I don't want people looking at me. I don't want to... You've been given it. You walk in it. And you walk in it humbly, because what you do and how you respond to God and the Holy Spirit and the opportunities given to people at large in this church to grow spiritually and experience God, let me tell you something. You have the responsibility to open the gate up. Open the gate up. I'm going to tell you a story. I remember being a gatekeeper, one of the pastors on staff at a church. And God was doing extraordinary things. It was like a visitation that came from God. We at times in the services, people would just come to the altar. Or we would say, if you want to worship the Lord at the altar, come this morning. And the church was about 1,300 people at the time. And I'm telling you, if you were on the platform, there was no way to make your way from the platform to get through to where people were seated and to get to the bathroom. If you had a goal, you're stuck. I'm just telling you. There was no leaving. There was no way out. People were jammed. I mean jammed. Because God was doing extraordinary things. An unfolding of His presence. There wasn't even a message preached on a particular Sunday, and people just came. Because the Spirit of the Lord was in the place. And the leadership of the church had made a decision. The gatekeepers on the platform that day made a decision. Let's open this up. We feel the Lord in the sense of His presence here. Let's open this up. Let's open the gates. Let's let the Lord of glory come in and let people respond. Let them choose. And people did. And they came. And they just came. And it filled. And you have to understand, the front of this church, the altar area, I mean, it's big. It's, they don't vacuum it. They have a Zamboni come in. It's big. If you don't know what a Zamboni is, then you don't play hockey. Like I did a couple times. It was Phil. The Holy Spirit just started to outpour on people because the people who were gatekeepers on the platform open the gates. The people who were in the pew, who were gatekeepers, making decisions, people of influence, people who were going to say, yes, I'm going to open the gates of my life to the Lord. I'm going to respond this morning. This isn't about what I do Monday through Sunday in the office or at the job. It's not about a title. It's I'm opening up. I'm going. I don't know whether anybody else. I'm going. It was leaders and people of influence in the church and others. People without position, but people of influence. Said, I'm opening up the gates. I want the Lord. I want the outpouring. I want the Spirit of the Lord to come. And He's here this morning. I'm not saying no to this. I promise you that day, there were a lot of ruined roasts at home. There were a lot of lunches that went to waste because they didn't run out and they didn't leave early. They opened the gates. And God did something unique, extraordinary. And it wasn't over on a Sunday. It lingered. It went on. It started to go beyond just the church services, and it started to invade Bible studies and other studies. It started to change the way that the pastors, we spent our days. Things began to change. It was happening. It was moving. It was growing. Life changes for people. Spiritual maturity, repentance. Worship became different. And there was a point of decision that came. We came up to Christmas. We're coming up to the season of Christmas. And now we're faced with the decision. Do we do what we always did? And take a break from this. And then once we get done with the pressure of tradition and it's over, then we'll go back to this move of God. I remember sitting in a meeting at the gates, so to speak. We talked. I don't know if there was like 10 or 12 of us as pastors. We talked around the table. Everybody had a voice. Didn't matter what department you were overseeing or whether you were an assistant to another pastor. Didn't matter. We spoke. We talked. And a decision was made to move ahead with what we always did. Because you understand, there were people who really liked what we did traditionally. And what we did traditionally was good, you know, putting on the big Christmas play or, you know, musicals or maybe you call them cantatas or whatever they were. And they're not a bad thing. They're a good thing. They're a great thing. A lot of people come from the community. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, all right? I'm in favor for them. I don't go to every showing of it. And the ones I do, I'm in and out of the sanctuary. I'll confess it to you, okay? But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think it's been a productive thing. I think a lot of people came to Christ and experienced salvation at those over the years. But it's something that we always did. But we had this move of God happening. This extraordinary presence where people just were being changed, and the spiritual hunger and prayer became such a forerunner of all of this and continued to sustain it. And just, it was, I don't know how to describe it all to you in the way of you can hear it, but if you've never tasted of it, you really don't know what I'm saying. And it's not because you're not intelligent. Because you can hear the words, but you just don't know the experience that happens along with it. The life change. A way of thinking different, seeing things different. The losing of your agenda. Well, we came to the meeting, and the meeting was decided to begin to do what we always did. And so that got put on hold, the move of God. And after the Christmas season was over, we tried to go back to the move of God. And we found ourselves going through the motions that we had before, but the presence was gone. We made a decision at the gate. We made a decision as influencers. We made a decision. I want you to know, as we went around the table, it was not unanimous. But we walked out in unity. And we supported this decision because the principle of honoring the authority set before you, it's right. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 1 through 5, and I'm going to read some other verses in chapter 27. I'm just going to move there quickly. I'll just mention the verses to you, and then you can kind of follow quickly if you want, or just write them down. Matthew chapter 26. I want you to remember, in Matthew 21, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, what happened? There was a stir among the people, saying, who is this? What's going on? I want you to keep in mind, when you are a governing official, you don't want a stir, you don't want a riot, and you don't want an uproar in your city or in your home or necessarily in our life or in the church. We want it to look good. We want it to look right. We want it to be in order. We want it to... I want you to look at this. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and elders of the people assembled. Chief priests and elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. Okay? They don't want a riot. We don't want a stir. When Jesus shows up, when he's been in and out of our towns and villages, there's always a stir. There's people who believe in him. We try to trap him, and he always has more wisdom than we do, and we don't like it. We're embarrassed by it. We don't want to lose our position, so let's get rid of him. That's how gatekeepers can operate. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew, the governor knew, it was out of envy that they, the leaders, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious community. It was out of envy. He knew it was out of envy that they turned Jesus or handed Jesus over to him. Verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. I want you to know people and places of position, gatekeepers, people of influence. When you gain a measure of authority and a measure of influence, you may want a little more, but you know what? You sure don't want to lose what you have. And when we reach that mentality, I want you to know we sometimes begin to close the gates on good things, on right things. Because we want to keep a status quo. Things are pretty good. Things are all right. Family's looking okay. Church is looking okay. Don't want to get too fanatical, but we want to have a little bit of life. And so, yeah, you know, might be a little expressive. Because, you know, that's more than some of the mainline does. But not as wild as, you know, charismatics. So a little bit of life, not too much, not too little. And so we as gatekeepers, yeah, how's everybody kind of responding? Is it going okay? Well, all right. What if we really opened up the gates to Jesus? And what if we didn't worry about our position or what people would think of us or our influence? What if the religious leaders recognized and just admitted that Jesus was the Christ? And understand that the scribes and the religious leaders, you know what? Their position's going to change. Things are going to be different. And if you would just let go of it, don't you think God is going to take care of you, lead you, still give you purpose, still provide for you? Don't you think the days would be good? But we don't want to lose what we have. And so we feel this pressure of the mass or the eyes of others. And so, you know what? They didn't open up the gates to Jesus. Instead, they crucified him. What about when the Holy Spirit wants to do something in this room? What about if Jesus really reveals his presence in this room? And Jesus wants to be Jesus. And the Holy Spirit wants to be the Holy Spirit of the book of Acts. Are we going to open up the gates to us? Are we going to open up the gates to the church? Let the people know this is how I'm responding. Not to stand up and tell people, but to respond and to do it. And it sends the message. I've opened up the gate. And this is what the Lord's doing, then that's what I'm going to do. And if my life gets rearranged, my life gets rearranged. You know, we throw stones at the governors and the gatekeepers and the religious leaders when it comes to Jesus because we recognize him as the Savior. And we think, how can you do that to my Lord? And yet at some level, if we're not careful, are we not guilty of the same sin? And we can call it lesser because we acknowledge him as Savior. But when he comes in and wants to do something, we kind of go, that's going to kind of rock the boat. I just, you know, let's just kind of keep the norm. I mean, it must be pretty good. You know, the church has grown a little bit over the last few years. And, you know, sanctuary's kind of full. And all our kids' classes are full. And, you know, it's going okay. You must be really pleased. And let's not, you know. And so this reflects all on the leadership of the church. And, you know, people should look like, hey, it's pretty good. It's okay. What happens when the Holy Spirit wants to get close and do something different? When the gatekeepers, whether by position or just the person you are as influence, when we become strangers to the altar in the day that we're living, none of this, oh, I remember, I was at the altar all the time. Well, great. Where have you been recently? Hey, when I'm on the worship team, I show up for pre-service prayer at 8:45 every Sunday. When I'm not on worship team, well, you know, I'm not up on the platform, so I don't need to be at prayer for the church. There's people that come to this prayer meeting who are never on the platform. Chances are some of them will never be worship leaders in the sense of singing or playing an instrument, but they're here to pray. Because they're trying to open up the gates. Trying to open up the gates. Say, Lord of glory, come in. We want you here. We represent a whole lot of people, and we want you to come. Come. Do something. Let me know the favor of you speaking to me, even if it's words of instruction, correction, rebuke. Let me know your favor. You and I need to decide what we want church to be. What we want to open the gates up to. Because if he shows up and we let him in, I want to guarantee you something. He will cause a stir. And there will be an uproar. And yes, it possibly could be a riot in a couple of contexts. One of conflict and one of hilarity. It's a riot. I'll just tell you, from my personal perspective, to keep things status quo, guaranteed, my job is way easier. Way easier. We open up the gates, we start to get the big picture, and we move beyond ourselves. You just never know what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, you don't know what's going to happen. I remember days like that in a couple different places where I've been on staff or pastor, and God's outpouring came and we opened up the gates, and I'm telling you, there was something about going to church, and not just on Sunday. There's about just something showing up at that place or being called on to go do something and somebody needs you and you got to go, and you just like, it was a total new open, like, God, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? You're the gatekeeper. It's not just the pastor. It's not, you know, what is this showing up on Sunday and say, hey, it's going to be a good Sunday. As long as the worship team's practiced and everything's sounding pretty good and they do maybe one or two of my favorite songs, and as long as the pastor's prepared a decent sermon and he can deliver it, man, that's all right. That's it? That's it? I'm shooting straight with you this morning. This is not a message of being condemned. I'm just telling you the truth. Thank you, sweetheart. because I'm going home with you. And we will eat lunch together, but they will have me for lunch. Frankly, there's only bones left, so chew all you want. No, not from here, because I've been in the ministry for a while. Doesn't matter. I'm just telling, doesn't matter. It's not that I don't care. It just doesn't matter, because it's, you know what? I'm not the gatekeeper trying to keep my position. I'm just telling you I'm not. I'm just not the gatekeeper trying to keep my position. Hey, this is a nice church. It's growing, and, you know, the salary's good, and, you know, we got to just not rock the boat. We got to, you know, I got news for you. I know that the church gives me a check, but God's my provider. So you know what? And I know they give me a check, and I know they're gracious, and I want you to know they take care of me. And my family. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't like that attitude and you don't like what's happening this morning, and even if you're wealthy, guess what? Take your money with you. I really don't care. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care. Take your money with you. God bless you. I see you in the community. I'm going to smile and wave and still be nice to you and all that. But you know what? Take your money with you. Take that kind of influence with you. Because you know what? We want to open up the gate. We want to open up the gate. We want to open up the gate. This is an Assembly of God church, and I'm not waving the AG banner here. I'm just telling you that it has some distinctives and some beliefs based upon the Scripture. And we are watching Assembly of God churches and their distinction and their doctrine go to the wayside. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a full gospel church. That's what it will be, at least while I'm here. That's my conviction. And that's what we're going to open up the gate to. It is so interesting to me, the things that we say. If so-and-so would just, you know, if they just let go and they would just let God do it, you know, and if they maybe just go to the altar, or they just, and yet the things we're saying, we ourselves are not doing. We did them at one time. And we act like it's over now, or we've arrived, or this is far enough, or I'm better than most, or I'm at a place of influence, or I hold some appointment, or some office, or some place of decision-making in the church. I'm a gatekeeper. So, you know, this is good enough. I was at a church, and I watched the leadership of that church open the gates. I'm telling you, there were things there that totally, completely surprised me. I would show up on Sunday morning, and we had an early morning service. We had an 8 a.m. service, and we had a 10 o'clock service. And this is not saying, don't compare us to them or that. No, it's a principle story. There were things there that surprised me in the way they opened the gate. We had an 8 a.m. service, so I had to be there early in the morning. But I want you to know that there were gatekeepers, people of influence, people who wanted to pray. They wanted God to come. They were open. They were there at 6 a.m. It wasn't even an official prayer meeting. There was no, like here at 8:45, we have a pre-service prayer. It wasn't like, you know, hey, at 6 o'clock, we got pre-service. No. They just started showing up. And get this. Those who were coming to the prayer, most of them, not all of them, most of them, they weren't happy when 8 o'clock service ended. Some of them stayed through the 10 o'clock service. I mean, give me a break. Hearing me once a week is enough. They want to hear me twice on Sunday? Same sermon? Granted, each one comes out different, and sometimes the sermons were different because God would speak for the people who were in 8 o'clock different than he was speaking to 10 o'clock. But then there were the Sundays where, you know what, the 8 o'clock people wouldn't leave and we weren't done and people were at the altar and some were in the pew and they were still worshiping. And the 10 o'clock crowd, because the back wall was glass and we could see through the 10 o'clock people out there going, I just had to say, first service, Keep seeking God. Keep doing what you're doing. 10 o'clock, come on in. 10 o'clock, come on in. And we would just start over with worship because people were opening the gate. I watched the poor. I watched the wealthy. I watched those who had influence and strong personalities begin to submit and exercise their influence in a godly manner. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I'm telling you, it was gorgeous to the Lord. I tell you, a man I admire, I'd really like him come here to preach because he does have his credentials, though he never pastored. And he's come to this church to visit. He's a man with a strong personality. He's a pretty much a self-made man in the context of business and starting from very little and building a business, one that he can hand on to his children. And, you know, he has a measure of wealth. And he was a board member. And when there was no pastor at the church, he was the chairman of the committee, and he helped just by determination and his heart for the Lord, yes, to kind of put things in place. But he was, you know, he was going to lead it, and he was going to control it, and he was going to make sure it's going to happen. And when I stepped on the scene as the new pastor, he was one of the people that helped open up the gate. He was still a strong personality, still has his opinion, but he submitted to the pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. It was a beautiful thing. Because the principles were right. It wasn't just a beautiful thing to me. Oh, okay. It's not like him and I ever conflicted or had different opinions about something. Sure we did. Sometimes he was wrong. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm going to tell you something. I still call that man, and he still speaks into my life. Because there's a right attitude and a friendship and a gatekeeper camaraderie that we experience something together. And he threw aside his natural tendencies and tried to allow them to be redeemed, to be expressed, and he helped open the gate amongst a lot of other people. J.W. Marlene, they know they were gatekeepers at that place. They helped open the gates. There are people here who want to open the gates. But what if we just all open the gate up together to the Lord of glory? What if we acted like Monday through Saturday, how we act here this morning? Because that's what opens up the gate. It's not just 8:45 prayer. It's not just praying and coming to prayer just because I'm not on the worship team, I'm still going to show up. It's Monday through Saturday and how we live and what we do and not letting our altar somewhere in our life that we become strangers to it. You and I can't just live on Sundays. We got to walk with Jesus every day. And guaranteed, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to sin. And I'm saying we, but we got to know how to run to the Lord. We got to know when you sin, run to the Lord. Go to prayer. James says it. Chairman of the apostolic board, a governing, he opened the gates. He said, hey, when you sin, it's not going to be this oppression thing. You get to Jesus and you pray. My heart, my life, and the ministry he gives me needs the Lord. I had a conversation with my son the other day about ministry and what he might want to do and how he's going to pray about his future. He's only a sophomore in high school. And he went to visit a college and came home and we talked and what he thought, what he experienced and all this. And I said, son, don't go into ministry unless God has called you and appointed you to go. I said, you do not want to do the ministry without God. And I'll tell you what pastors need and leaders in churches need. They need great lay people. You still minister. Son, if God doesn't call you in the ministry, you're going to be faithful in church. You're going to be ministering somewhere in the church. You're going to be giving and doing and involved because you know what? We need lay people. We need gatekeepers to open up the gate. I said, I'm proud of you either way. As long as you become the person God wants you to be in character, I don't care what your vocation is. I'm not going to be more pleased because he goes in the ministry, or if he doesn't go in the ministry, then I won't be pleased. I told him that. It's the truth. What will make me most proud is that he has conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That is the first and foremost calling. And that he opens up to the gate of the Lord in his life. That you and I would open up the gate and let the Lord of glory come into this temple area of the Holy Ghost. In this church, there are things that you and I can do that will help open the gate. There are actions and attitudes that we can do that help open up the gate. Because you can sit there and say, well, I'm fine with the Lord. And I'm okay, and I can sit here, and I can worship just fine, and I'm close to the Lord, and I sense his presence. And I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. That's what's right. Because there's a lot of people jumping around doing all this kind of stuff. But Monday through Saturday, there's no Jesus Lordship. I know that. But you know what? There are actions and attitudes that we can portray and do and participate to encourage others around us that we're opening up the gate. Because if they're not sure and they don't know, they're left to guess. And you know what? We guess wrong. And you can say, well, they shouldn't be guessing and they shouldn't be judging. Listen, we look to leadership and people and influence all the time. Don't give me that. Don't hide behind that spiritual context and take it out of context. There are things that you and I can be doing that bring encouragement and open up the gates for other people. Why did Jesus so harshly and so confrontationally come and stand against the religious leaders? You look in the Gospels and you can find the passage. He says, you are shutting up the kingdom from those who earnestly want to get in. They close the gates. Open up the gates. And let's let the Lord of glory genuinely come in. And there is something as he comes that you and I are going to have to change. And it might be a schedule. It might be an attitude. It might be you're going to have to get up earlier. It might be this. It might be that. It might be, hey, listen, I got to tell you something. I'm going to speak to young families. Listen, you got young children? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what time anything becomes to try to favor you. It's still never going to be convenient. It is that stage of life, and you can cry all you want, but you're crying to the wrong pastor and woman right here because we had 4 and 4.5 years. We had 3 in diapers at one time. And yes, there are times that my wife and they could not always make everything. Granted. And they went to school tired some mornings. They still do, but that's not our fault. Not anymore. You know what? I'm just going to tell you. Do your best. Pray to the Lord. Be earnest. Suck it up. And here's the good news. It's not forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I could dance that one. But really, and those with empty nests, we used to say when we had kids and we were, oh, if I just had more time to give to the church, and if I could just have do more for the church, if I could just help with other kids. Hello? It's been here. The kids are gone. What are we doing to open up the gates? If you do not want to be at a full gospel Pentecostal church, understand something. You don't have to be here. And I'm still going to like you. My goal is not to get, well, let's get as many people in here because we can look really good. I want us to be fruitful. Yes. And I want those who come a part of this church and become the family of the church, I want them to be actual, genuine converts. Becoming disciples who know the Scripture and experience God, the God of the Scripture. And there will be a stir. And when God shows up in this place, I'm going to tell you something. You here will not all agree. I'm just telling you. You will not all agree. Because when he comes, there will be a stir. And for you, it might be an internal uproar. And I'm telling you, it's going to shake some things. I have watched when the gates were opened up and Jesus came in. I watched families who were friends in the same church, longtime friends. I watched them part ways. That is not the goal. But one family opened up the gates and the other said no. Don't kid yourself. You can open up the gates and give people the opportunity to say, I'm opening up the gates. Yes, this is God. Yes, I'm doing this. Yes, this is the Lord. And let him change my life. It ain't about comfort. It's about security. Hear me? It's not about comfort. It's about the security and the stability following Jesus Christ. I'll tell you one last story. I remember when I was traveling full time as an evangelist and I was preaching and preached a youth retreat for this church, and then they held me over for Sunday night because the retreat went through Sunday morning. So I preached Sunday night in this Assembly of God church in Illinois. And it wasn't this message. I've never preached this message. I'm just going to tell you, I've never preached this message anywhere, ever. So I don't want you to think every Sunday I'm just heating up something old. Not that there's nothing wrong with the old truths. I remember in that sanctuary, I was preaching about a move of the Spirit and move of God and giving way to him. So the theme may have been similar. I watch people come to that altar and respond. When I say come to the altar, they're just saying, you know what? I can't just sit here. I got to go surrender to the Lord. I've got to go pray. I feel convicted. I got to get close to God, or I've got to get saved, or I got to get filled with the Holy Spirit, or I've got to respond. I can't just sit here. And it's not a response that was different than what I've seen before. And I rejoice in all of those responses and people coming and doing that. No one was forced. But this is how I knew that the Lord was really doing something deeper than even what I could see. As I turned the service back over to the youth pastor, he came up. He's allowing people to pray. And then a man came. They talked. He handed the man the microphone, and he's weeping. And he stood before his congregation, and set and confessed. I tried to control things. I've tried to steer things. He said, and I need to repent to you and ask your forgiveness as a church because I have been a deacon on this board for a long time. The keys dropped at a perfect time because they're a sign of authority. And that man stood up and he confessed to that church and asked forgiveness. And I want you to know I was in that church. And I'm going to tell you, it was locked up tighter than a barrel and pretty doggone dead. I'm just telling you. And that God started to move and that man repented. And the people, and what happened, it was like, you know, the altar service is kind of winding down. And this guy came, it was like you might as well just start a whole new service right now. I mean, it's, and it's not about, don't, please, listen to me. If you're a deacon in this room, don't get paranoid. And if you're not a deacon, if you're not a deacon in this room, don't be sitting saying, yep, it's the deacons. No. Listen to me. It's about being in the place of a gatekeeper. And I will tell you this. There are gatekeepers in this church. You do need to repent. There are gatekeepers in this church who need to repent. And some of you gatekeepers, you've never held an office or never taught in this church, but you're a person of influence. And you're not sending the right message. You're not opening up the gate. You walk into church like you're walking into some meeting that you have during the week. We are called to be the living church of Jesus Christ. It is different than the Rotary Club. It is different. This is the living church of Jesus Christ. This is different than your business. I don't care what business you own or who you work for. This is supposed to be the living church of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be different.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.